Welcome, foolish mortals.
Time to be turning around. If only you could.
Cause this here's the wildest ride in the wilderness!
Henry, what's holding you up? Let's get on with the show. We can't hang around here all day.
Ladies and gents, this is the moment you've waited for.
There's no turning back now.
This is the greatest show!
Now it's time for the WDW Beyond the Gates podcast with your hosts, Michael Hurley and Gary Aruda.
That's right. This is the WDW Beyond the Gates podcast, episode number 344, recorded from the D. Fauntleroy Studios in Kent County, Rhode Island, in sunny Southwest Florida. I'm your host, Gary, joined as always by my co-host and my cousin Mike down in Florida. How are you doing today, Michael?
Hi, Billy.
What's going on?
How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. And we're also joined by your better half this evening. We have Susie in studio with us. How are you today, Susie?
Good, thanks. How are you?
Thanks for joining us. It's always good when you're on because that means you guys just got back from somewhere.
It's true.
And true. No exception this week. Because we like to bring in the professional. When you have a trip review, it's good to bring in the big guns, the closer out of the bullpen. What's new down there? How you guys doing?
Doing pretty well.
Yeah.
Staying busy.
That's good.
Work.
New jobs keeping you busy.
Yeah, it's finally settling down a little bit, so I'm actually able to leave at 5 as opposed to 8.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, it's good.
Very good. How about you, Bill? You've been stressed out?
Yeah.
Long golf days.
Putting in long ball cut hours.
Do you hit like the short practice, the short game area first, then the driving range?
No, I usually just do the driving range.
You don't like the short game. See, that's a problem, though.
But it's my problem, so you kind of stay away.
You got to work on it.
I know I do.
It's uncomfortable.
It's your problem? Like, you only have one problem?
I've got a lot of problems when it comes to golf, but I'm just saying.
It's his biggest problem.
Yep.
But you want to practice what you're better at. Makes you feel better about practice.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
I understand that. It's not the right way to go about it.
No.
Like, if you're a crappy free throw shooter, you should practice your free throws.
Right.
If you're bad out of the traps, you should practice sand shots, not hitting like 6 irons off of a perfect lie on the driving range.
Right.
But here we are.
Dive more Ledbetter
fun to hit
school.
6 irons, isn't it? David Ledbetter.
Wasn't he
on the TV at the Orange Lake? It was like Bill McCord or something, right?
Yeah. There was a teacher. He teaches out of that place.
Yeah. That was a great channel. That was a good alternative to the Stacy channel, wasn't it?
Oh, that was a fantastic. The Orange Lake channel?
The McCord Golf Academy channel?
Was his name McCord?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure because I kept thinking of Gary McCord, but it wasn't. I think it was like the McCord Golf Academy.
Wasn't he the one who goes to that same body, the guy that I go to? Didn't I say it was David Ledbetter?
No, you're talking about David Ledbetter.
Yeah. Oh, David Ledbetter. You have connections with him?
Yeah, she has connections with David Ledbetter.
Well, that's good. You like to hear that.
I haven't actually met him, but I've been in the same parking lot and watched him talk to the guy I was going to see. So,
did he sound like David Ledbetter?
He did.
Oh, that's good. So probably him then.
Did you want to? Was it in your head to say, "Oh, this is David Ledbetter"?
Only because I had your voice in my head. Like, on my own, I wouldn't have come up with it. But I had your voice in my head saying, "Oh, you should say hello to David Ledbetter."
David Ledbetter.
Would you have introduced yourself in that voice?
No. Probably not. Hello, because then I'd get all messed up and I'd be like, "Oh, hello, I'm Susie Ledbetter."
That'd be very ironic. You'd have a good starting point for your conversation.
Okay.
Oh, you have the same last name. He just turns around. He's got some like Southern accent. He's like, "I don't know who David Ledbetter is, but you better get away from me right now."
Oh, boy.
Should we keep this short and sweet? We have a lot to talk about, don't we?
Yeah, we've got some stuff to talk about.
All right. Well, how about I'll bring up my unofficial beer sponsor of the week. And this week I have the B-Boy Stance Coconut Porter.
Wow.
You're going to laugh because this one is out of Fall River, Massachusetts.
The one and only Fall River.
A burgeoning craft beer economy of Fall River. This is the B-Boy Stance Coconut Porter, 7.5% alcohol by volume. A porter brewed with coconut, very simply put.
It's probably the only industry they have right now.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, they have corrupt mayors and craft breweries. One sip, everybody knows the rules. It's not bad. Definitely taste the coconut. Smooth porter. I like porters. I like coconut. I kind of picked this in honor of where you guys just stayed. I figured the coconuts and everything kind of fit in with the theme.
Susie, do you have your earbuds on?
I'm with the porter, but not the coconut part.
Yeah.
What, Mikey?
Do you have your earbuds on?
No, I don't know where they are.
Okay, because you're echoing. I thought I left them like right on the table.
Yeah, you did. I just saw them.
One sip, everybody knows the rules. I'm going to give this a 6.8. It's pretty good, not great. I'm going to enjoy finishing this, but it's not one that I would seek out again. 6.8. I was going to ask if, Susie, do you have a beverage that you're enjoying?
I do have a beverage, but it's just the same milk chocolate porter that I always drink.
Nothing wrong with that. Sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
Is that Cigar City?
No, it's J-Bell's.
Oh, okay. I remember you saying that. I couldn't, because I know you mentioned Cigar City before.
Or J-Dubs, rather.
J-Dubs.
J-Dubs out of Sarasota.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Mike, a Bud Light for you?
Yes, sir.
Okay, beautiful. Glad we got all the bases covered. Should we take our first break and come back, get into the meat of the episode here?
Sounds like a plan, Billy.
All right, let's do it. Yes.
We can dance if we want to. We can leave your friends behind. 'Cause your friends don't dance. And if they don't dance, well, they're no friends of mine. I say we can go where we want to. A place where they will never find. And we can act like we come from out of this world. Leave the real one far behind. And we can dance.
All right, we're back for break. This is episode number 344 of the WDW Beyond the Gates podcast. This week, we're doing part one of a trip review. You guys just went up to property for the first time since since everything with COVID started, correct?
That is correct, Billy.
You never went up. Like, you had that day booked, but then the weather was bad, so you didn't go up on your own that time, right?
Correct.
And then you guys went to Vero, but even though that's in the bubble, that's not on property. So you found a good deal. You said you wanted to talk more about, you know, going during this first week. Not so much about the amenities.
That's correct.
So
that's correct.
But give a brief little brief rundown of what you did and where you stayed, everything like that.
We stayed at Oki West. In a studio.
Yep.
Quote, deluxe studio, end quote. And we went to the parks.
That was the plan. You went
that
out
was
to
the plan.
Go to the parks, yeah. You found a good deal on the DVC resale
Dave's
market.
DVC rental. Resale, yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Got a nice room. Place that you haven't stayed there, Susie, right?
No, I haven't.
I know Mike did because I was with him when he stayed there, but... yeah, it's a nice resort, but that's not really what what we're here to talk about, is it? You want to talk about... Well, we will be talking. We'll touch about that in part two. But this week, I believe we want to focus on kind of the experience of the cliche, the new normal at Walt Disney World, at least for now, with the masks and the social distancing and the reduced capacity and everything like that. So how do you want to jump into it, Mike? You want to just kind of
go right into it? Doesn't
matter. You want me to ask questions? What do you want?
Sure.
What do you want to do?
Yeah.
So what, you went to Magic Kingdom when you first got there, right?
That's correct. Sunday. We got up there, what, around 2-ish?
No.
2-ish, because we left about noon.
Okay.
And you went right to the park, or did you go to the room first?
We went right to the park.
Okay. And how did you find the crowds?
I mean, just from parking, we were way, way, way up front.
Yeah, so you could just tell it was Kingdom. Reduced.
Oh, yeah, because I was like, that, normally yeah. We're parked way back here.
Mm-hmm. And then did you take the monorail over or the ferry or the bus?
We walked to the transportation and ticket center, and we took the monorail.
Okay, and the one, because you did, actually, you took a picture, right? Like one family per car or whatever it is?
Yep.
Or per bench, it said, something like that. How now did that
Susie's microphone is muted.
Oh, it is muted. She must have, maybe when she plugged in the headphones, maybe it muted it because I have nothing to do with that. Yes, so you're back. But how was even just that part wasn't too crowded, waiting for the monorail, everything like that.
Walked right on. You know, the transportation ticket center is usually packed. There was nobody. I mean, you know, like how they wait to load up a monorail.
Yeah.
These things were empty. And like, as we're walking up, they would just let one go. And then really? The next one would come and they were just empty.
It was weird.
Yeah. What was the security protocol like? How was that different than it normally was, or just
so much the same? It's weird because we hadn't parked at the Magic Kingdom since they started doing the increased security. Because usually
where they move the security back before you get on the monorail.
Yeah, correct. Because we used to either like get breakfast or do something. So the security is right in front of the transportation ticket center. So the first thing they do is they take your temperature.
Oh, okay.
And they have they're all sponsored
scanner one, right?
Yeah, they have like their sponsor. What, Advent Help? Is that who the tents were, Susie?
Yes.
So they take your temperature. And then you go through, and then you go to security.
Now, I granted there weren't a lot of people there. Did you see anybody like have to get put aside because their temp was too high while you were there?
Not see anybody put aside.
No, because I know they'll give you like a second shot, right? Like they'll let you sit down and
You get like, for, like 10 minutes or something. Mm-hmm.
And then, so obviously you didn't have any issues with that, with the temperature checks.
Nope.
And you went through security regular routine through the metal detectors and everything like that?
It's different now because they don't go through your bags.
Oh, okay. I was wondering about that.
Unless it's absolutely necessary. So they said to take your bags. They asked you, do you have this? So then they say to take your bag through the metal detectors.
Okay.
And I went through and they went, so then they had like
1,000 different electronics.
So they had to go through it. And they said that it was mainly my cameras were setting it off. They said, they said next time you can carry your bag and then just hold your cameras out so it's visible and then walk through.
And then they'll know that's what's making it go off and they won't have to go through it. That makes sense, in theory. Mm-hmm. So that was a little different, obviously. Because I thought maybe it was at Hollywood Studios, but you went to the studios, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did they have like the thing like at the airport where you put your bag through a scanner and it kind of can see through? I thought they were doing something like that.
Didn't see that.
Maybe that was Universal or something. I know one of the places they were trying to implement that. But so getting through the security was obviously a different experience, and you could feel the crowds were lower. How about getting into the park? How did it feel?
Just
quiet. It was really quiet.
Yeah, I mean, when we got off the monorail again, it was just like in that entrance plaza, it was dead. You know, like how there's just so many people standing around.
There's always people, yeah.
Always.
And this was a Sunday, right?
Yeah, this was a so it was a weekend for the locals.
Yeah. And now how about the touch point? Fingerprints are gone now?
That's gone.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So what do they do? They do your picture now, right?
They scan your magic band.
They just scan your magic band.
Scan it and go in. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. So they put like a plastic thing over the fingerprint.
So you can't even touch it anyway. Yeah.
I mean, there's still the indentation still there, so you can put your finger in and it just doesn't read it.
Right. They're not, they're trying to avoid that, obviously.
Right.
Which makes sense. Did it feel different besides just the crowds? Like walking in, did you feel like you were in like a Twilight Zone episode because you had the mask on and everyone's wearing masks and face shields and stuff? Like, did it take you out of it at all? Or were you kind of just caught up in being back there?
I think a little bit of both for me.
Yeah.
Because they're trying to do, when we got there, they were doing like a very condensed parade.
Okay.
It was like a villains parade or something like that. And so they were trying to keep everything as one way as possible. And then everything is marked off with tape for distancing.
Oh, really?
So even like waiting to get into the tent to have your temperature taken, they had it spaced out.
6 feet.
Lines to get into the restaurants and the Emporium and all that sort of thing on all the rides.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, that makes sense. I knew they were doing that, but to see it actually implemented.
Yeah, it's weird to see it.
How about in the stores? Like, did you go and shop around at all?
Not at the Magic Kingdom, did we? We didn't go any because the Emporium, it was packed.
Oh, really?
Just because now you have to wait to get into the gift shops.
Oh, okay.
They're only letting so many people in at a time.
Yeah.
So you have to wait, and then they're kind of one entrance and one exit.
Mm-hmm. So it's so more of a pain.
You can't just pop in the side door like you used to.
Yeah, all the doors now are kind of blocked off.
Yeah.
And there's one way in, one way out, and you look, and now everybody's...
Now that everyone's waiting, and it's like you just wanted to look at a t-shirt, now you got to wait 20 minutes to get in there.
Exactly, yep.
Yeah, I see. Yeah, that's probably not worth it at that point. So, how about, like, the rides themselves waiting in the line? Like, obviously, you're waiting away from people, supposedly, and trying to keep distance that way. But were the lines pretty short?
No, I mean, they're huge because of the social distancing.
Right, but I mean the wait times.
Yeah, I mean, what was Peter Pan, 15 minutes? 20 minutes?
20, 15, 20.
But you start as far back as you normally would for an hour wait, but you're just so far apart from
everybody. Yeah, I mean, you're down by Columbia Harbor House. You're starting, you're literally, that's where we started.
Oh, wow. And it was basically a walk-on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was literally a walk-on.
Because you just had to walk 15 minutes to get there.
Yeah, we paused for like, you know, 5 seconds here, 10 seconds here, but it was essentially a walk-on.
But once you get to the interior waiting queue, it's all plexiglassed off and partitioned and everything.
Oh, in between.
So you have the distance, but you also have the barrier, so.
That's good.
Because people in front of you, people in back of you are distance. But then when you get into that zigzag, side to side, now you're pretty, you know, you're 2 feet away from people. So then they have big plexiglass.
Yeah, I actually had wondered how they were going to do the switchbacks and the back and forth stuff. Mm-hmm. So that makes sense that they put up the plexiglass.
They did a great job. They really did.
They covered all their bases. Yeah, like we've talked about, I mean, they know that if anybody comes back with any like proof that they caught COVID at Walt Disney World, it would be a huge story. So I think they've been extra cautious, obviously, for good reason, and it's not a bad thing.
Well, and they're Disney, so whatever they do, they do well.
Yeah.
So they weren't going to take any shortcuts with this, but anyway.
Right, like when they want to cancel entertainment, they do it really well. They just
They're really
good at canceling entertainment.
Real good at that.
Probably the best at that. Now, would you say, I know you've kind of been worried about like the mask police. Did you see a lot of that, or did everyone pretty much cooperate? There wasn't a lot of make sure you have your mask on, like put it above your nose kind of thing.
I saw a few, but for the most part, people were compliant. I mean, you're always going to have the people who want to try and get away with something, you know, the people who are waiting in line and you're not supposed to be eating or drinking, but they've got the bottle of water, or, you know, we saw a family that was sharing popcorn or whatever back and forth with their mask down. There was a kid in front of us one day that I thought Mike was going to pop in the face, actually. He kept moving his mask.
Remember the
down
message I sent you? I said, this kid in front of me, everything about the kid in front of me, I hate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was him?
Yeah. So, like I said, I didn't like his sneakers, his pants, his shirt, his haircut. He had a skateboarder haircut. Apparently, that's back in now.
I don't know what that means.
Oh, that's like an 80s dude. So, it's like really long in the front and then like short and tight
like
on
the tight
sides.
In the back and then long, like long bangs.
I didn't know that was what that was called or that that was back in style.
Yeah, skateboarder dude. That's in like an 80s, early 90s.
And he was vaping?
And he's vaping.
Oh, because that, nice.
I'm sure that's great, right?
Yes, because
just a big cloud of filth.
Because it's banned in the park to begin with.
Right. Not only is it banned, but it's literally like aerosol coming out of your mouth, which is what you're trying to avoid.
Correct.
It's just going everywhere. It's like an actual visualization of the coronavirus floating by you.
Yeah, you can actually see.
Yeah,
yourself intaking the coronavirus.
Yeah, right, exactly. It's like, okay, so if he has it, that's how it gets into your nose and your eyes and everything. You're like, okay,
exactly.
That's good. That's very nice. Very thoughtful of that person.
But that I thought for the most part, people were following the rules, which, I mean, if you're going to go, if you don't want to follow the rules, don't go. It's my opinion.
Yeah, I mean.
But you're just going to ruin it for yourself and everybody else, because if they end up having to close it because you were an idiot, it's not good.
I know Mike was not concerned, but kind of being sarcastic about how all the cast members now have to be like mask police, but you didn't see too much of that having to.
I mean, there were friendly reminders. Here's the deal. You know the people bumpers down at Disney, the people who constantly bump into you when you're in line because they think if they bump you just a little bit, they might be able to get on the ride a little faster.
Yeah, right, exactly.
So you had these same jack-offs at doing the same stuff. So you turn around and they have the line for 6 feet, but they would have to be 2 feet in front of that.
Just enough.
Somehow cheating the system. Like instead of just standing on that 6 foot tape,
They would have
to be a foot or two because they're going to get that line moving just faster if they do that.
Right, sure.
So well, you had
if everyone stood a foot or two more forward, they'd be two people ahead in line.
Right.
You just got to use your logic there, Bill. That's really that's your problem, not theirs.
But we're in line at one point. Which ride was it?
What, where I was?
Where the little girl was picking her nose.
Oh, that was the same one because they were behind us.
Oh, you had so we had weasels in front of us and behind us.
Yeah, the little slob behind us rubbing her boogies on the handrails.
She's got her finger like halfway up her nose. She's just rubbing it around and then she's climbing all over the stuff. Great.
Yeah. I mean,
and her parents are just standing there.
I try to keep my girls from like, I was taking Eugenia home and she had like, we went to Target. So she had her mask on and we got to the car and she took her mask off. And she started like rubbing her face. I was like, that's the whole point of wearing the mask. Like, it's hard to.
This girl was what, Mike, maybe like 8?
Yeah.
No, a little
this wasn't your being a junior.
Yeah. I mean, that's one that you just got to kind of like swat the hand out of there and be like, you can't do that.
Yeah.
Shouldn't do it anyway. Probably not during a pandemic, especially. But I don't know.
But then you had the weasels who were eating in line.
Sure.
So, I mean, they tell you a million times that if you're going to eat off to the side.
Right.
But now they're in line and they're going to have their popcorn and they're going to have their Mickey bars and they're not going to wear their masks. Because they don't want to. They just don't want to.
Well, they paid a lot of money to be there. Don't you realize that?
So, again, it's the people bumpers. It's the people who stand in front of you and put their daughter on the shoulder during a parade. It's those people.
It's the same people.
It's the same people.
Yeah, and they're just finding different ways to annoy you.
To be jerks.
Right, exactly.
Exactly. Like Susie said, 98% of the people were fine.
Yeah, as is usually the case when you go. Now there's just a lot less people, so maybe they stand out a little more.
Right, that's the thing. I mean, there are far less annoying people than there normally are.
But you're also potentially more annoyed by the fewer amount because it's a high tense situation, I'd imagine.
Yep.
At least to some degree, it's got to always be in the back of your head, like trying not to bump into people, trying to like do that tango where you're like both going the same direction and you want to let the people pass you and everything.
Right.
How How was it wearing a mask the whole time? Did you kind of forget about it after a while, or was it annoying the whole time?
It wasn't bad most of the time. Tuesday, we were at Animal Kingdom, and it was hot.
Yeah.
And that's when I noticed it the most, because I was just sweating. Mm. It's like my upper lip was sweating, like I'm broken out now because of it. But
what kind of mask did you wear, like the disposable surgical ones?
No, I
haven't. Susie, did you want to tell Gary what you were wearing for this trip?
I wore a mask. I wore a cotton mask.
And what kind was it?
It's the Lily mask, the Lily Pulitzer mask.
Oh, there you go.
And the price tag was oh,
I'm sure
for
it
three?
They were three for $40. We bought them in Vero Beach. And I get more compliments on them than pretty much anything else.
It's so weird. We're walking into the Magic Kingdom and somebody says,
is that the one that like has the flower, like the bag?
Yeah. Okay, yeah, like the bright colors.
I know the one. Yeah, I know it too.
Yeah, we're walking into Magic, not even, we're walking to the Transportation Ticket Center and somebody looks over at Chris and says, I love you. I like your mask. And she's like, could you believe like back in March or April, like if I said that somebody was going to say, I like your mask, like I said, it's probably something that I have never said in a sentence.
Right.
Until then. Like, you know, I probably said a million different variants.
Yeah,
and
maybe
things,
like when you were 6 years old on Halloween, your buddy came Halloween, over as you like a G.I. Joe. You're like, right. Oh, I like your mask.
Oh, yeah. The mask is cute.
Yeah. What did you wear, Bill? Now the world needs to know.
Oh, I just have like the black. It's not like a surgical. What is it called?
Bank robber mask.
Yeah.
It's like a. It's like it's a cloth one, though. Yeah, the neoprene ones. Yeah, those are good. Those aren't
They're comfortable.
I don't mind those.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like the neck gaiters, but I know they don't allow those.
Yeah, they don't allow those.
Those are great for, you know, at the golf course, because you could just, when you're, like, on the putting green.
Yeah.
If you want to, like, just pull it up if someone comes close to you or whatever, and then you just plop it
back.
That's
what I have. I have a Florida Gator one. That's what I bring to the golf course.
Yeah, it's nice for that.
But to answer your question, it was not uncomfortable.
But, you know, because, it was kind of always on the back of your mind that you had it on, though.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, on Tuesday when it was warm, you definitely could.
Yeah.
Like, when we got that Dole Whip, I was really looking forward to taking my mask off and just sitting for 20 minutes.
I should say, did it make you appreciate, like, the snacks even more, just sitting down and being able to take the mask off for a little while? And
yeah, because it was kind of like freedom. Like, when we had lunch or when we were eating, it was like, it felt good.
You felt a little more normal when you're eating, yeah. I mean, that's what you like to do anyway when you go. So it's like, okay, mask off, sit down, relax for a little bit.
It's like when you put your kids in timeout and then they finally get out of timeout.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Billy's kids don't have to go in timeout.
No, they're good. They're good kids. I'm trying to think of what other kind of... Now, how about like the transportation stuff? Did you take buses or did you drive?
We did not. We actually drove. We were going to take a bus the second day to Hollywood Studios. And I was just
concerned. Running a little late.
Oh, okay.
Shocker.
And you didn't want to miss the boarding thing.
Yes.
Right. So we figured it would be faster just to drive over.
Makes sense. That's actually pretty close, right? Old Key West to Hollywood Studios.
Yeah, it wasn't bad, but it took forever because we were there for rope drop.
Oh, and there were a lot of people.
Oh, there were so many people. Because they said it was like 3.5 miles, and it was going to take like 19 or 21 minutes. I said, I can walk faster than that.
Yeah, we got there in no time, and then we just sat there and waited to go through the gate.
No, that makes sense. How did any park feel busy? I know like Magic Kingdom, you said, felt dead. Animal Kingdom, I saw some pictures and you said it was crazy. But like Hollywood Studios is always selling out. Did that feel busy?
Yeah, Hollywood Studios
felt the busiest.
Mm-hmm. It's smaller anyway than the other two that you went to. But also more people are flocking there because of the Star Wars stuff and everything. So I imagine that area of the park felt particularly busy because everyone kind of congregates there.
Sure, yep.
But railway was really busy too. So that
I saw you posted a picture. You said it was like a 105-minute wait or something like that.
Yeah, that's what the posted was. We didn't wait that long, but we waited quite a while.
But that's still a high post. That's still, you know, even if that's normally 105 would normally be about a 65-minute wait, I would think, at least.
And I mean, now you got lines like you've never seen because it's all outside.
Just because of the spacing of everything.
Right.
So the spacing. Yeah. So it's just, you're just wrapping all over the place. And I mean, they do a good job because they have arrows too. So like they have the spacing And then they have to let you know you got to go left or right. I mean, they do.
And then they've got somebody standing at the end of the line with a sign that says, "This is the end of the line for this."
Mm. That's kind of like how it was when like Pandora first opened. You'd have to like wait across the bridge, like near the Lion King, except were packed in. Yeah, but now it's a little different. Yeah, I mean, I know they're not doing fast passes, so they're using both entrances to put people through on those rides. Did you notice that, like, that you went through on a fast pass line at any point, or not really?
No, they were all with, they used the standby line
for
almost everything. I think if you had like a medical issue, then they were using the fast pass line for that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. So I thought, I was under the impression, and I don't know, I thought they were going to use like both lines so they could space people out more to go through.
It didn't seem that way.
I'm just curious. Yeah.
I mean, that might be their backup plan for when they increase capacity.
Yeah. Now, besides, without getting into too many specifics, besides just trying to get on a bunch of rides that you normally don't do because the weights are so high, was there anything that you normally would do at the parks that you didn't do because of what's going on? Obviously, less entertainment, less like congregating around and things like that that you guys like to do. But was there anything that you kind of were like, man, I wish we could do this right now that couldn't happen?
I don't think so.
I don't know. Is that I don't know if I worded that correctly.
I mean, it was different because so much, like you said, so much of the entertainment is gone.
Right.
So, you know, the musicians and the street performers and that sort of thing is gone. So at Animal Kingdom, they actually had a couple of boats out on the river, and one of them just had
characters
waving, and they had some music. And then they had another boat that came by with like drummers and some of the musicians.
That's not too bad.
No, it's not bad, but it's just different.
Yeah, it's true.
Because you missed the performers at Animal Kingdom. You know, the ones outside of Tusker House.
Yeah, that was great. Yeah,
right.
Because you like to stop, because you'd always go by and something would be going on.
Always.
And you'd stop for 5 minutes and watch it, or if you really liked it, you'd stop and watch the whole thing. And all that's just not there.
Yeah.
Which kind of stinks.
And the drums that the kids could play and all that stuff is gone, too.
Well, so. Roped off, yeah, that's true. None of that interactive touch stuff is really happening. Makes sense, I get it, but...
Because of the reduced capacity, a lot of the, food carts and kiosks and stuff are closed. A lot of the kind of secondary gift shops are closed.
Yeah.
So there are fewer opportunities to, grab a drink because something looks good, or, oh, hey, I like this shirt. Let's check this store out.
Do you feel like it made things feel more crowded? The stuff that was open, like the snack areas and the restaurants that were open, did they seem more crowded, or it's just the numbers are so low that the crowds just didn't pile up anywhere really?
Visually, it looks crowded because there was one stand. What were we going to get? Did we want to get like a Dole Whip?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
No, we were at Hollywood Studios. We were going to get like a Mickey Mouse bar. You wanted ice cream.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And we went to that one stand, and there was probably 10 people, but it looked a lot longer because of the social distancing.
Sure.
And Kristen's like, I don't want to wait. And then we literally walked around the corner and there was a cart there and there was not one person in line. So we went over there. So, I mean, visually it just seemed like it was busy, but
yeah, I mean, I guess standpoint, if you were about to get in line at Peter Pan's and you're outside Columbia Harbor House, you'd be like, oh, this is going to take me all day. And then it literally was a walk on at that point.
Mm-hmm.
So would you, the longest thing that you waited for was probably the Mickey Mouse thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That and Millennium Falcon.
Oh, right. That's the other. That's the
Millennium Falcon. Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's right. I'm thinking.
Because you need the boarding pass for what? Rise of the Resistance? Right. And Millennium Falcon is just regular queue?
Yeah.
Okay. We'll get more into that next week about the specifics. How about at the resort? Did you notice a lot of changes there? But you probably didn't spend much time at the resort, really, did you?
No, we didn't. Mostly at night. We went over to that area.
Everything
by the
closes.
Had drinks and.
Yeah.
I mean, the bar's closing at 9 o'clock there.
Oh, really?
9 o'clock.
That was the thing. Like, the park closing early, the bar's closed early. And so it was kind of like, what am I supposed to do with myself now?
Do the pools close early too? Or are they?
No, they keep them open to regular, like 10 o'clock or whatever. Quiet pools. People were out there all night.
What are you supposed to do? Like, what do they want you to just go sit in your room and lock the door and watch the Stacy Channel?
I don't know, because even Disney Springs closed at 10.
Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, granted, you were there, a Sunday night, Monday night. So those are probably two of their slower nights anyway, but I don't think the hours would change that drastically. Maybe a little later on Friday and Saturday.
Yeah, because usually I think they close. What was Pop? What Pop close at? Midnight?
Midnight. 11 or midnight, yeah.
So even if they just lowered it to like 11, that's fine, but to close it at 9?
Especially, but I think like they're just trying to keep the shift short for the workers because they're worried about
paying them.
Paying them, exactly.
I don't know. I saw someone on Facebook was at Pop Century over the weekend. Someone that, I don't know, a travel agent that I connected with at some point. And like they took a picture of the bar at Petals, like the pool bar at Pop. And there were like 40 people. They said, this is the longest line I've waited in all day just to get a drink at the bar. Which is funny, but how'd you like the amenities outside of Old Key West, the bar there?
The gurgling suitcase is great.
The bartender was fantastic.
Yeah.
She was Scottish. She was awesome.
Now, were you allowed to sit at the bar?
Nope.
No, inside.
Still, even though Florida's completely open, Disney's doing their own thing, so there's no bar stools in the bars.
Okay, so you got to get a table, they bring it over to you, or you pick it up.
You just go in and pick it up, and then walk over.
That's not the worst thing. I mean, you guys, you would sit at the bar, but sitting at a little table, that's nice.
No,
anyway.
Sitting at the table outside was nice because they had picnic tables, and then they had like just tables with two chairs.
High tops.
Okay,
and we just went way like out toward the tennis courts and just
they
sat
have
there.
More tables? Do they like up the amount of tables out there that you remember? I know we haven't been there in a while. So
I mean, put it this way. There was enough tables. There were open tables. So you weren't waiting for tables.
That's good.
Like for such a big resort, how small that area is. Like it's a small bar and the quick service is tiny.
Yeah. There's not a ton of amenity like in that one section. Like the recreation amenities are great. Like the pools are good. They got the, like you said, the tennis court and all that stuff. And the grounds are enormous. But yeah, the center of the resort, there's like one tiny little gift shop, one tiny little quick serve, decent sized sit down, and like basically a non-existent bar. It's just a little walk up bar.
Yep.
You know, I'm surprised they haven't like come up with another bar over there, but I guess it's working for them.
Probably not demand.
Yeah, I mean, that's
not
really.
Well, like Mike was saying, because of your proximity to Disney Springs, a lot of people probably go over there.
That's true. You just hop on the boat. Were the boats running? I didn't even. No, not at all. So
that
strange.
Was a bummer.
Yeah, you think about that. I mean, it closed so early, it wouldn't have really mattered anyway.
Everything else was closing early, we would have gone over there and hung out over there instead of going to the bar at the hotel.
Yeah.
We didn't have to drive.
Yeah, that's true. Just crazy. You know, it's good that they accommodate and they're trying to do what they think is best. Yeah. And it seems like most people are on board with just kind of following along with the rules. And, you know, that's the price to pay if you want to be there, I guess. You got to follow their guidelines that they want. Like you said, Florida, I mean, I know they said that the theme parks could reopen at 100% capacity right now if they wanted to, but obviously Disney doesn't feel comfortable with that. I don't think, even if they said, okay, everyone could come, I don't think the numbers would be much higher than they are right now anyway.
No. We noticed when we were going to Hollywood Studios and there was that huge traffic jam, every car had Florida plates.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure it's 90% locals.
I mean, you saw a couple geographically, you know, around the corner. We had Alabama, the Georgia, but you know, you'd always see the Connecticut or the Wisconsin. There was Southeast.
If you're from the Northeast, you have to quarantine for 2 weeks when you get back. Like you basically can't go. Like most places' jobs won't let you go back to work. Like I know that's how it is at mine. If you go to a state that has travel restrictions, you have to either get a test, a negative mm-hmm. test, or you have to quarantine for 14 days unpaid. You know?
Wow.
Or take vacation time, I guess, if right. you have it. But it's just, it's not that I would necessarily be like dying to go down right now, because I don't, for what you're getting, like you said, I don't think it's worth it to like book a vacation down there, but you know, it's out of the question. It's not even an option at this point because.
But see, I think, you know, for you to come with the family and the girls and stuff, it wouldn't be worth it, but it would be a mm-hmm. great time for you to come down and golf with Mike.
Yeah, the golf would be great. Yeah. Because I'm sure
and it would be good for the gentleman's trip because you get so much done at the parks. Like if we were to go to the parks, like
yeah,
I thought it was a great experience for us because we just, you know us, we don't like to stand in lines because we don't right. have to. So to be able to and to be able to get all that we got done in such a short period mm-hmm. of time, like the Magic Kingdom, we hit so many attractions within a 2.5-3 hour time.
And it
period.
Wasn't like you. Couldn't get them done. You got there in the middle of the day and then you left to go back to your room. Like you
we got there in the middle of the day and we and the first thing we did was have lunch.
Oh right, yeah.
You so we didn't start yeah. until about 4 o'clock.
Right.
And the park closed at 7.
And the park closed yeah. at 7. So in that 3 hour period, we nailed a ton of stuff.
Yeah. So if
and
you
we weren't
there,
running around, got a fast pass pod. I mean, we right. casually just walked around.
So basically you could do almost the whole park in a day. Like if you got
you
there,
you could
open
do it in closed. Half a day.
You think so, Magic Kingdom, yeah. even with that many? Because there's a lot yeah. of stuff that's not even open still, right? Like I know
most of them was open.
Is it Small World closed right now?
No, we were on.
We did Small World.
We did Small World.
They're refurbing it.
They're refurbing oh, okay. it, so it's all like goofy from
boarded
the outside.
Up. It's boarded up.
Oh,
the front
okay.
of it looks
that's
different.
That's what I was
but...
thinking. All right, well, that's good. How about like shows? Was like Country Bear and Tiki Room? Are they open?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, because I saw like there was a wait for Country Bear.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how they would do that, but I guess if you just space people out enough.
Yeah, I'm sure that they just have blocked off the yeah. seats blocked off where you can't even sit on it. So
right.
Like Space Mountain was up and down all day.
Mm.
There were a few things like Splash was down at one point, but then that reopened.
But that's normal over the course of a right. day anyway. Was anything like an abnormal wait time in Magic Kingdom? Like the Seven Dwarf thing? Was that still the longest wait?
No, we got on the Seven Dwarfs.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that was a longer wait.
Yeah, of course.
That
it was
like 45 minutes, maybe.
Posted, but bad. I think yeah. we got on like a half hour or so.
That's not bad.
That was where the vape kid and the girl.
Right.
Oh, that's
girl
what
were.
That was. Yeah, that's fun. Yeah. The vape kid.
Mikey's hipster friend.
That drives me up a wall, in like the vape thing, like when people yeah. do it. Like sometimes you'll see people like at the bar, like trying to sneak it. Like when you could still go to restaurants and stuff, like they'd be. It's like it's so inconsiderate. It doesn't matter if oh it's smokeless, yeah, but it's still you're not supposed to do it. It's like
right.
It's like if you just wanted to like take a leak in the corner of the bar. Well, I didn't spill it on anybody. It's like I don't right. care. It's inconsiderate. It's rude.
Yeah,
it's against the rules. I don't know. Anyway.
What was I gonna say? I don't know if I would want to go with the family. I was telling Susie that.
Yeah, because you'd probably be more concerned about making sure you know the kids are following the guidelines. They're not getting in people's way. They're not touching
their
stuff.
Mask off.
Yeah, taking the like I feel like it'd be super stressful.
And like I said, just from a
and, like,
memory,
all the
like,
playgrounds are closed.
Right. All that
so
kind of
all
stuff
the things
too.
That you know your kids want to go and like just burn off some energy, well, they mm-hmm. can't do that. Nope. So, what were you saying, Mike? About
I
memories?
Was saying like from memories, like I always have these vivid memories of going with my parents and going with my mom and going with you and your family, and I wouldn't want like my 8-year-old daughter having this type of memory,
like with the everyone wearing masks.
Yeah, and like not that it's depressing. It's just it's not your typical
not
experience.
I guess if you always went, if you went 2-3 times a year anyway,
right.
and it's just
right.
another trip, but if it's like your once every 5-year trip,
right.
probably
that was my
up.
Point.
Yeah. Yep.
I hear you. I agree with that.
Like if we had kids, we're here all the time. Yeah, I would take the kids.
Right.
But I wouldn't spend $5,000 on this trip if I were you and your wife.
No. Even if you didn't have to do like the quarantine stuff after, just because of the experience is different.
Yeah.
Yep.
And it's just not going to be, like you said, the memories aren't going to be the same. which is really what you want. That's what you're paying for, right?
And right, like fireworks end. And, right, you know, like all that, the magic is kind of gone.
Yeah, it's more of just an amusement park, like a carnival amusement park instead of a theme park at this point. But you never felt like it was unsafe or not cleaned or kept up if they, you felt like they did a good job.
I was really impressed.
When the eyes weren't on the people, they were doing detailed cleaning.
Yeah.
That's how it was. It wasn't, oh, I got to do this. Oh, people are watching. I mean, when we got breakfast in Star Wars Land or whatever the heck they call it, mm-hmm. and this guy was literally scrubbing down the chairs and the table. And I almost said, like, you're good, dude. You know, because I mean, he was just so detailed, just cleaning the back, the front, the sides. I mean, he getting cleaned.
Yeah.
I mean, he cleaned. I mean, there's hand sanitizer all
everywhere.
Over.
Yeah.
Every 10 minutes, they're making the announcements about keeping your masks on and socially distancing and
signs all over the parks. And
you're not going to forget about it, in other words.
Nope.
That's good. I'm glad to hear that they seem like they're doing their part, definitely keeping up with the cleaning and not just for show, like you said.
Yeah,
like, oh, someone's coming by, I better like wipe this handle down. It's like,
yep, there's my supervisor standing over the corner staring at me. Let me put on a show for him.
Yeah.
But even on the monorail, so the spaces where it used to be open, there's like a leather partition now.
Hmm.
Like blocking, separating the cars.
Yeah.
So they really went above and beyond in a lot of ways. That's good. Sounds like they had all their bases covered. Anything else you want to add here? Should we take our next break?
Yeah, I was going to add one more thing for all the employees wear masks, but a lot of the customer facing employees, they wear the shields. Too, right?
Yeah, I noticed that.
They wear the shields. So I asked the waitress when we went to Vero Beach why they did that. She's like, I don't really know. They just told me this is what I have to wear, so I'm wearing it. So I asked our waitress at Old Key West, and I said, what's the deal with you? You know, I see like, you know, the people at the front, like some of the other workers, like aren't wearing shields. And she said, well, like the people who get in close contact with people, we have to wear shields. Hmm. And she said, because it's protecting not only you, but it's protecting us. She's like, because you don't have your masks on.
Oh, and you're
so this is just adding another protection to us. And it's also because I'm so close to you, it's adding, you know, what gets through my mask isn't going to penetrate the shield.
Well, that makes sense.
So, yeah, because I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, I guess it makes sense for like the wait staff, because if when you're sitting down, you're not wearing the mask, so it actually probably protects them more from your aerosol or whatever.
Mm-hmm. And I asked her about, you know, employees, and what'd she say? She said that they get temperature checked at the beginning of every shift.
Hmm.
And she said that if they don't pass, then they have to go into a room for 10 minutes to cool off. And if they fail a second time, they have to quarantine for 14 days.
Oh, wow.
So.
It's probably hard to say because you weren't there that long. Did you feel like they were doing less like checking on the table that they normally would to try to keep distance, or as attentive as usual as far as wait staff?
I thought the service was fantastic.
The same, yeah. I didn't know if like they kind of at the beginning maybe it said, oh, you know, we'll be here, but we're not going to come over and visit the table every 5 minutes like we normally would, just to try to keep distance. And if you need something, kind of wave me down.
No, I mean, she talked to us like for that. A while.
Yeah.
The woman at Olivia's talked to us for quite a while.
That's good. I mean, that's one of the best parts. You know, I know you guys love when you have good service and you can really kind of have a conversation.
And our bartender at Old Key West,
Girdland
Suitcase, we talked to her for a while. And then we talked to that woman at Liberty Tree.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
For a while about all the different places she worked at and this and that. So,
and then Tiffin's even had actually Liberty Tree too. Like they have the different people who do the different things. So like one guy brings the bread and the one person does the drinks or whatever. They're still doing that. So they didn't even try and curtail that, which I thought they might have.
Hmm. I just was curious. I didn't think that they would, but I didn't know if like they kind of, in their opening spiel, they're like, oh, well, we won't be by as much, but if you need me, just wave me down if you need another water or something. But no, the same kind of same level of service that you would normally expect.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
And actually, I would say maybe even slightly better because there are fewer people.
Yeah, that's true. Did you notice less tables? Did they like take tables out or they just don't see
people?
They've got a lot of signs about
they just have the signs.
Yeah.
Is unavailable due to social distancing.
Makes sense.
But I mean, the spacing in all the restaurants, because I hear a lot of people saying that they will not eat indoors and that they'll only eat outside. And we always eat indoors. So.
Mm-hmm.
But like Olivia's, you know, one way in, one way out. All these places have one way in, one way out. So now when you exit Olivia, you actually go out the back door over by the Gurgling Suitcase as opposed to, where we made our reservation.
Yeah.
By the gift shop. Yep. So.
That's interesting.
And everything's scanned now. So when you get to the restaurant, you check in via scanner and then the menu, you scan the menu.
Oh, yeah. I saw that too, that they don't have physical menu. Like you pull it up on your phone, right? Mm-hmm. There's like you could request one, obviously.
Yeah, because before they were all just paper menus that they would throw away. Now you just put it out, you scan it on your phone.
Yeah. That's no difference, really.
No, it's better.
Yeah,
less
probably.
Less wasteful.
You wonder if some of those kind of things will stick around.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why bother?
Yeah,
you can change the menu. It's so much easier to update a web page to change the menu as opposed to printing out new menus every day to put, especially at some like the nicer. But it also feels like a little cheesier to have to like pull out your phone and like.
Like at V&A, they're probably not going to do that. Yeah. But
I would even think at a signature. There's something to be told about that leather kind of binder.
Well, it's also just not having to like have your phone out to do it and like
looking
at the phone, you know, I don't know, but I mean, they're moving like the mobile ordering at the quick serves obviously has been. So why not just kind of integrate that into the sit downs too? Not necessarily.
Yeah, tell
the
him
ordering
about the
part,
mobile
but...
order for breakfast, how that all worked too. When we're at like docking.
Oh yeah. So when we were at
Galaxy's Edge.
We had to wait, you know, we got our boarding pass, but we had to wait to be called back. So we decided we were going to get something to eat and we go over and they're like, okay, well you scan, you know, you pull the menu up and then you do your online ordering and then you click your window for when you want to pick it up.
Hmm.
And then you basically go back. And when you get back there, you go back and you click and you say, I'm here. And then they prepare your meal. And then you get a notification that says your meal's ready, and then they let you into the restaurant to go and pick it up.
So they've even amended that a little bit to make it work into this. That makes sense.
So you're not actually allowed into the restaurant. You have to wait
just
outside
to wait.
The
yeah,
restaurant.
Yeah, you gotta wait to go in. And that's probably good, too. All right, well, with that, we'll take our second break. We'll come and wrap things up in just a minute. We are back from break, episode number 344 in the books. You know what movie that's from, sir?
Are you talking to me?
Yeah.
Not
no.
Movie.
It's from The Mask. You get it? The Mask, because of, you know, the coronavirus and everything.
Wow.
Trying to be cute with the musical choices today.
Was that a good movie?
It also kind of tied into the Key West thing
movie.
A little bit.
Yeah,
it was a terrible movie.
Yeah, I thought it was more of a Key West type of thing. Yeah.
It worked on two levels. I'm just a genius, Bill. You should know that by now. 6 years plus that we've been doing this, and you're just starting to figure it out. Yeah, not a great movie. Although Cameron Diaz was in that. That was like her big break, and she looked good in that movie.
She always looks good.
Yeah, that was.
I'm not a fan of Cameron Diaz.
No, not a really?
Big fan.
Not really. No,
not really. Oh, all right then.
Maybe her nose isn't big enough.
Yeah.
Could be you.
Anything else that we missed that you want to add here? How about, I know when you stay at the DVC, you don't get the housekeeping as much. Did they have reduced housekeeping anyway? Did they have like signs about that? Or is it the same 2-3 days a week schedule at DVC?
I don't know if they notified us.
Did you have any when you were there?
No.
It was weird because we did. They came in and emptied the trash.
No, was it?
That was it. Like, they didn't replenish the coffee creamer or the cups or anything like that. They just emptied the trash.
That was, that's
like,
weird.
Didn't make the bed, nothing. It was very odd.
Yeah, I haven't really looked into any of those kinds of changes. You know, things I don't necessarily think about until I'm talking to you guys about experiencing it. But I wonder at, like, the regular resorts if it's something you can opt into, like if you want daily housekeeping, like will they do it or are they reducing it anyway now? I know they were
imagine they're probably reducing it anyway. I think most hotels are
right.
You know, whether they're Disney or not, I think, you know, if you want new towels or whatever, they'll bring you new towels, but they're not going to come in and give you the full experience unless there's a reason.
Right. I mean, Disney was trying to get away from it anyway. Remember?
Yeah.
Like you could,
yeah, with the stupid you like gift cards,
they'd give you a gift card for like $10 a night for each night that you refuse room service.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't need my bed made. What do I need?
See, now for me, that's something that I enjoy. I like coming back to a clean room.
Yeah, there is something to be said for it.
And I also feel that I'm eliminating jobs and people who need these jobs. So
that's also a good
for
point.
A $10 gift card. I'd rather have somebody working.
Yeah, but if it's a week, it's $70, Bill.
Well, that's 2 pounds.
Anyway, I don't have any other questions unless you guys have anything else you want to say.
You're jamming.
So, Susie, will you join us again next week to do a thorough trip review about your accommodations and the rides and your thoughts on Star Wars and all that stuff?
God willing.
All right, good.
So you're jamming.
We will have the rest.
Can
of
we
the
get rid of that review. One?
We could try. I mean, I can. Let's see if I can mute his mic. Yeah, I could mute him at any time.
Oh, yeah, that's great. I like that.
So that works out. If only you had that ability. I'm like Chris Wallace. I just need to be able to mute him.
Cut his mic.
Yeah. Anyway, you know where you could find us online, wdwbtg.com, on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at wdwbtg. Our YouTube page is youtube.com. Search for WDW Beyond the Gates. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google, Amazon, Spotify, TuneIn, Stitcher. I think maybe Pandora. I don't even know if we're on that right now. Anyway, just search for us where you listen to your podcast. You'll find us. You can email show info at wdwbtg.com, Mike at wdwbtg.com, and Gary at wdwbtg.com. Anything else?
No.
All right. Well, thank you for listening to episode number 344 of the WDW Beyond the Gates podcast. For our guest, Sweet Susie, my co-host Mike, my name is Gary. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Now it's time to say goodbye to all our company. M-I-C.
See you real soon.
K-E-Y.
Why? Because we like you.
Yeah.